Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Scott from the What the FUQ documentary do. And, you know, I was just thinking about this, doing what's right, doing what's right. What is right? What is wrong? And you come down to common law, and anytime anybody busts anybody for anything, you apply the simple principle. Did anybody get hurt, physically maimed, anyone?
No.
Did anybody's property get stolen or damaged?
No.
Well, then why are you questioning me, officer? You know, that's essentially the base premise of it. If you ain't done anything wrong that physically hurt somebody or damaged any of their property in some way, shape or form, they shouldn't have anything to say about it. And there's no crime committed. So just, you know, goodbye and simply refuse to recognize their authority and appeal to authority. The general mentality of it is, I feel, one of the main things that humanity has to get over now. Your authorities are not there because they earned it by responsibility, okay? A lot of people don't understand the relationship between responsibility and power. The old saying goes, great power comes with great responsibility, and I believe that's wrong. I believe that by taking great responsibilities, you in turn get given great power because you have earned it. At the moment, we have politicians and entities and corporations and what have you who have inordinate amounts of power and have not earned a single scrap of it. And so it becomes fairly obvious why all these government agencies are fraudulent and irresponsible. And thus, they provide the authorities and to allow the entire population themselves to become irresponsible. Scott, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. Picking up on something you just said there about questioning the officer, if we respond straight off to any question that officer asks, have we automatically accepted the authority of that officer as an officer?
Well, then again, you got to wonder: does the officer actually have any authority if he's got no reason to talk to you, regardless of whether or not he's wearing a uniform?
Well, the way I come at it is, and working it back through that officer is he's commissioned by a police commissioner, and the police commissioner is commissioned by, in Australia at least, the governor. Now, if somewhere along that chain of authority, there's a break in that chain, and let's just say, for example, that the governor was not properly commissioned or is not of the same office of governor as was legitimately constituted by a monarch out of the UK, then as we trace that all the way down through to the bottom, when we're dealing face-to-face with an officer on the street, we may not actually be dealing with a real officer. And so if we respond to the questions that that gentleman is asking of us as, sorry, I was doing this or I was doing that, then the presumption is surely that that officer is who he says he is, whether it's just implied or just by the uniform or for whatever reason, we've skipped over that issue of that officer's authority being in question. We've presumed that it is so. Now, what I'm seeing is that with the appearance of these two governments and these two structures, that I'm no longer willing to actually accept the presumption that we're dealing with legitimate officers, legitimate departments, legitimate judges, legitimate tax commissioners, you name it, let's see some evidence. And it's sad in a way that we've got to that point where that reasonable doubt is at that point where I believe we should be questioning them all. It would be nice to be in a position where we didn't have to even think about that. And I'm seeing that because of this reasonable doubt that there's two systems, I'm thinking that it's a very valid question to be able to question who are we dealing with before we even start dealing with those little matters. And it's very easy to do. I mean, people are turning up to courts and they call the guy wearing a wig, Your Honour. And the instant you do that, you've skipped over the issue of, well, are we in a real court to start with? Was the act that constituted that court given royal assent by a properly commissioned governor? And was the judge at the front wearing the wig commissioned or appointed by a properly commissioned governor in the first place? So it's very easy to fall back to and rely upon these institutions or these officers, judges, commissioners, you name it, and treat them as if they are really government. And I'm suggesting that that may not be the case, and as sad as it may be, to question who we're dealing with. And I'd say it's a pretty reasonable thing to treat as fact that if you don't see that evidence that you're dealing with a legitimate officer or magistrate or commissioner or whoever, if you don't see the evidence that they're legitimate, are they?
Well, in New Zealand, I believe there's a law, if a officer is unlawfully arresting you, it's within your lawful right to assault him, essentially. If somebody is, even if they're wearing a uniform, if they're behaving in a criminal manner, you as the citizen are then endowed with the power to defend yourself by any means necessary.
Yep.
Now, that seems like a proper way of doing things. Ergo, unless somebody is acting with full, lawful, reasonable, and technical authority, they have none and can be treated just as much as you would treat a criminal coming into your home.
Yeah. The fallback position appears as well to cite the likes of those sort of acts. And what I'm seeing is those acts themselves that we rely upon to even do such an action of questioning or challenging a police officer, what if they're not even legitimate? Now, it's a very sad situation it's come to that possibility, but there's the likelihood as well that some of those laws that we cite today, like the Criminal Code or the Crimes Act, are not really the Crimes Act or the Criminal Code that might have been brought in back in the early 1900s, back in the times when we actually had a Governor General or a Governor to give it the royal assent. There's a certain amount of doubt as to whether this corporation calling itself government hasn't copied those original acts, done what's called reprinting them, copyrighted them at the same time, bringing them under their, let's say, their architecture of a company, their corporate umbrella. And now those acts that we thought were legitimate because of the date on them, say, for example, the Customs Act of 1901, oh, yeah, there was a legitimate Governor General around then, 1901, definitely, yep, that's all legitimate. And yet, if that act has been copied, reprinted, altered, amended under the umbrella of a corporation pretending to be government and has their corporate logo on the top, was supposedly given royal assent by a governor or Governor General who wasn't commissioned properly or of the wrong office, then you're looking at the quality of toilet paper again. And everything I keep coming back is go back to the source of where the authority comes from and question, can we rely upon that? Don't just presume that we've got a legitimate act, we've got a legitimate commissioner, legitimate justice, whatever. We seem to be in the point now where none of those can be taken for granted, that just about every institution that we are reliant upon under the umbrella of government is in doubt, and not one scrap of evidence has been able to be provided when asking questions of, and I think we're up into the hundreds of so-called ministers and government officials that we've asked now along that line of questioning, and not one of them have even attempted to give an answer. And that says quite a bit.
Well, instead of answering, have they threatened you with certain actions?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's some of the responses have been hilarious. When I suppose you come at it from the avenue of what haven't they said? And that's what I was highlighting in the documentary was, let's go through some of these communications that are coming back from these so-called government departments. What actually aren't they saying? Now, you might get a correspondence that says, we're going to escalate this to the Fines Enforcement Registry, and they might rescind your license, and you might lose demerit points on your driver's license and all of this sort of stuff. Like, great. Thank you very much. That's fantastic. Now, back to my question where I was asking about the validity of your organisation to even fire up the coffee machine. Can we cover that one first and see if you have lawful authority to exist? Because whatever you say doesn't really matter without that lawful authority. And that's what we keep highlighting and going back to, is where's the evidence that that act was given royal assent by a properly commissioned governor? Where's the evidence that the commissioner of this department was given, was appointed properly? Where is that evidence? And you can go through correspondence from these so-called government departments and go, well, really, it didn't tell me anything. And all the other words on the piece of paper really don't mean anything without their authority. You're back to that level of authority of an ice cream man. They've got absolutely no authority at all. You're back to dealing with the company and you're like, well, I know how to deal with them. We'll give them some terms and conditions and treat them just as he would any other company. And then they can choose whether they want to do business with you or not.
Contracting, in other words, I'm going to enter into a contract with you in good faith, and you're going to provide such and such a service. And if you do not provide such and such a service, here are the consequences. You will have to pay me late penalties, or you can be sued, or you can go to court and what have you. There's all these kind of ramifications if you don't keep your word. The difficulty is if you've got a government organization that's in fact a corporate. The places where you would often seek justice for corporate scumbaggery of sorts would be the courts. The problem is they own their own enforcers.
Exactly. So that's where you get a certain reluctance to go down this path, in as much as, yeah, they own the courts. So that presents different challenges, and how do you get your remedy? Now, the way I've approached it has been a matter of first determining the capacity in which who I'm dealing with. Once I find out that they're actually a corporation and have formalised that within a notice of default, I keep pointing to that notice of default from that point onwards. At that point, I issue terms and conditions. For example, I might say, any instance where one relies upon invalid or unlawful act to extract any money from me, I will charge you 2,000 ounces of silver, at which point they've got that choice to enter into the contract with you or not. They can go and harass someone else, or they can choose to accept the terms and conditions that I've proposed. And say they do that, I promptly give them an invoice, and I come from the position of thank you for doing business with me. As any company would do, you'd be appreciative of your customers. So the mindset was no longer, oh, they can't do this, you can't do that. So I'm like, well, sure, you can issue me an infringement notice, or you can do this. I'd like to see some backup for it. If you're not real government and you've got no basis for your infringement notice, well, then that'll qualify as one of those items on my fee schedule, and I'll send you an invoice. I, of course, give them the opportunity to waive that invoice if they can demonstrate that they do have some basis for their act or their instrument or their own existence. And to date, not one of them have been able to even take up on that. So each invoice I'm issuing is now further reinforcement of the fact that we're dealing with a corporate entity and that they've chosen their own consequences.
Well, and again, what consequences can we actually give them if they own the authorities that are supposed to enforce them? I mean, what if we ourselves pretended that we have authority and made up a court, appointed a judge and a jury, and held a trial of these people in their absence, and then issued a judgment, and then forced them to pay and or comply with made up police officers that that we have, you know, just a bunch of guys volunteer, they become a fake deputy or something of that nature, and they just walk up to these people when they come out of their office, slap them in handcuffs and haul them away to this fake jail that we made up, and then essentially we'd just be playing their own game against them. And that would seem like a lot of justice to me if you used fraud and deception as a way of actually bringing real justice to these criminals. that's just my mind running away with me. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.